In October of 1999, it was football season. OU Texas was coming up, and I had just kind of made some quick plans to watch the game here on our screen with our projector, and had invited different men. Wanted to just kind of utilize that time to watch the game. Invite your buddy to come join you. We'll watch it here together. And so, as it turned out, only Richard Prater and I came. And we watched that game, OU Texas, 1999, fall of 99. It was the year Chris Sims was Texas's quarterback. It was the year OU went on to win the championship. But in that game, it was a low-scoring game. And toward the end of the game, there was about a minute left. OU had punted the ball. Texas had the ball near their own end zone. And OU was up 7-3. Texas has the ball. They have the chance to go drive the field. If they score, they win 10-7. And so it's down to the wire here. First snap, Chris Sims receives the ball, and Roy Williams comes through on a blitz and does what coaches tell players never to do, and that is leave your feet. He jumps over the line of scrimmage, knocks the ball out of Sims' hand. The ball flies. Teddy Lehman, OU's linebacker, catches it, intercepts it, takes about three steps and scores, and essentially game over. Okay, Richard and I are going nuts in here. And I'm really thankful that we have no security cameras. You know, we have no footage of that. I'm glad. We were going nuts. Okay? I'll never forget that. I mean, that stands out. I love OU football. This morning we're going to talk about zeal. Zeal is having great energy or enthusiasm in a pursuit of a cause or objective. Zeal is passion, excitement. And I have a lot of excitement about OU sports and football in particular. All of us get zealous about something. All of us are passionate about something, aren't we? I mean, yours, it may not be football for you. I also enjoy golf. I love golf. The Masters is next week for my fellow golf fans. Everyone else, it'll be good nap time. The Masters is great. It's so green. You take a nap and you have that. Anyway, you get excited about other things. It may be shopping. I don't know what it is that you get excited about, but we all have things that we get zealous about. It may be family. I know some of you, when you have a grandchild, I don't know what that's like. My day will come, but evidently having grandchildren is a really exciting thing. I mean, some of you really, really get zealous about your grandchildren, and that's great. We all get zealous about things. Do you remember the excitement you had when you first became a Christian? When you become a Christian, you remember, generally we're just enthused. We're passionate. I mean, we've got the Bible in the hip pocket. We've got the bumper stickers. We've got the WWJD bracelet. We're ready to take on the world and the devil and all comers, spread the gospel. We're excited. And then something happens. Or some things happen. Time passes. And that flame that burned bright at first starts to kind of dim. It still burns, but not as bright as it used to. There was a man at the airport once, and he was waiting in line for his ticket, and he's standing in line. He realizes in front of him, there's a tall black man, and he realizes that is Julius Irving, Dr. J, okay? The Dr. J. We have young people in here this morning. That was a great basketball player back in the day, okay? Julius Irving, sorry. You remember when Michael Jordan did the dunk where he jumped off the free throw line and dunked it? Well, that was part two. Julius Irving did that originally. Anyway, Dr. J, so he's standing in line. That's Dr. J. He's kind of freaking out. He's not wanting to yell and scream, but I can't believe it, man. That's Julius Irving right there. And he looks around. He doesn't want to really make a spectacle of himself, but he's enthused. And there's no one behind him. He's at the back of the line. There's one woman between he and Dr. J. And he's just really excited, and he's wanting to tell someone. And he tells her, "Do you know who that is? That's Dr. J." And she's rolling her eyes. I mean, she's not giving him the time of day, whatever. And so he's a legend. You don't care that that's Dr. J? And she says, "Well, he's my husband." You know, when we first became Christians, we married Christ. Scripture says the body, we are the bride of Christ. We entered into a new relationship. But isn't it true that as a Christian, as the days go by and the weeks go by, the Sundays and the years go by, we have the tendency to wane in our passion and in our zeal? Jesus talks in Matthew 13. He tells this parable about the sower and the seed. And he sows this seed and it falls on different soil. But he talks about this seed that falls among the thorns. It's like the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Jesus says some Christians will be Christians. This seed doesn't die, by the way. There's other seed that dies. This seed doesn't die. It's just not productive. This seed gets choked. And there's two different things that choke it. And there are two different types of things that choke our zeal. One is things we worry about. Many people leave the church. When they leave, at some point, it's because of trials in their life. It's because of worries, struggles. And they get bogged down and they just slide away from God and the church, the body. But it's worries, it's struggles, things that get us down. That chokes our zeal. And then the other category, the deceitfulness of wealth, this is a category of good things. Well, they look good. They seem good. And maybe they are good in and of themselves. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. The love of money. And so the deceitfulness of wealth, this is a whole category of things that seem positive. And I'm zealous about this, and I'm excited about that. And I got a new job, I got a promotion, I'm working more, I'm a job, an opportunity. My children are growing up and they're involved in this and this and this. And these things are good and we're going after it and we're on this project and that project. But what happens to my zeal for God? It can get choked because I'm distracted being zealous about other things. The worries of this life, maybe cancer strikes and my zeal gets choked. Maybe divorce, maybe financial loss, maybe broken relationships, maybe my hopes and dreams of my life are broken now. Maybe a loss of a loved one and I'm grieving and my zeal for God gets choked. And these things happen and we struggle. Romans 12, verse 11. Turn to Romans 12, 11. This is our scripture about zeal today. Paul says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Paul's inspired by God. God knows we will have passion at the beginning. But how do we keep it? We will have passion at times. We may be passionate about God right now, but will I be tomorrow at this time? Where will my zeal for God be tomorrow? And so never be lacking in it. My zeal for God needs to go with me everywhere I go. I need to be excited about God above all things wherever I go. And I need to keep, and by the way, fervor is another word for passion. Fervor means boiling over, literally. I need to keep my spiritual fervor. We need to keep our spiritual fervor. Each one of us had it naturally at the beginning. We have to keep it. We have to work at it. We have to fan it. We have to bring it back. Jesus said, "Seek first my kingdom and his righteousness." Am I more excited and passionate about God than anything else? Now, you have to fill in the blank for you. But the question for Elliot is, am I more excited and passionate for God than I am OU football or golf or other things in my life that I get excited about, that I care about, that my heart gets excited when I anticipate it? Am I more excited for God and godly things than I am anything else? Or is God just one of many things on my day planner? You ever thought about that? As I wonder sometimes, as Christian Americans in our culture and in this day and age, do we really struggle with something that we do not understand? And is that the fact that have we placed God in one part of our life? Is He on our day planner? And at this time, God and I get excited together. But later on, it's going to be this. And tomorrow, it's going to be that. And Tuesday night, it's going to be that. Or am I passionate about God all the time? Jesus also said in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men." Our passion is supposed to be contagious. Have you ever been around a Christian who is contagious, excited, passionate? I mean, they love God and you knew it, you could tell it by the way they talk and the things they talked about. We are supposed to let our light shine. The world is supposed to see Christians and say, "Man, that looks pretty good. I want some of that." We're to have zeal that the world can see. So I want to talk today about how do we regain our zeal. And number one is we need to remember what God has done for us. In Bible times, when we read in Scripture about people and how they did things, we read that they built monuments. They call it whatever you want. They piled up rocks, oftentimes, to remind themselves of something important. It was important, and they wanted to remember it, and they made something tangible. God said, "Write on your door frames." He instructed them to have things in place so they would remember. He said, "Tell your children when you wake up, when you lie down, when you eat, when you walk along the road, remember." And so how do we remember what God has done for us? The word "remember," by the way, is found 166 times in the Bible. The word "remember." That kind of speaks to this topic, doesn't it? About passion is easy to lose when our memory fades. On December 12th, my family, Stephanie and I and the girls, we like to go back to Mexicali Mexican restaurant on 71st. I think it's still Mexicali. We like to eat there because the day that Abby was born, Stephanie and I, Elizabeth and Sydney, we were over there because Stephanie was trying to go into labor but wasn't ready yet. The hospital sent us home. And so we went to kill some time and stayed close to the hospital over there. And we remember eating there that night, and they give the children something to color on and a sheet for the children with crayons. We had those crayons. And Elizabeth's job was to write down the contraction times. You know, we're having contractions there in the restaurant. I get to eat. Stephanie's having contractions. You know, the girls have a job to do. We're having a family get-together there. And we like to go back on that day as a family and eat there and remember. It was a special night. December 13th is the anniversary of Stephanie and I's first date. And we like to go back, if possible, to the restaurant we ate at on our first date. When I asked her out, I asked her a very important question. "Do you like Chinese food?" And she gave a good answer. Yes. And so we ate Chinese on our first date. And we like to go back there. It was Emperor's at that time. It's changed. We try to go back in spite of what it is. It's getting more and more difficult as they change it to odd and ridiculous type foods, but that's where we were on our first date. We like to go back and remember. Stephanie and I like to go to Eureka Springs. That's where we went to honeymoon. I like to go back there. I like to remember. We've gone numerous times. I like that. It brings back the memory of that great and exciting time. And so what do we do to remember what God has done for us? The fact is, we were once lost. Do you remember? Maybe you were like me, and you would think about things more times at bedtime. When you're laying in bed trying to go to sleep, it's just you and your thoughts. Did you have that experience sometime, maybe like that, maybe different, where you just sit with yourself and think, what am I going to do? I am lost. I'm a sinner. I have sins. What am I going to do? Do you remember that? You remember what that felt like? And then to be baptized, that moment when you came up, do you remember that? I found a picture. This man is excited. Weren't we excited when our sins were washed away? We need to remember these things to recapture our zeal. What has God done for us? Well, He saved me, and I have to remember that. I need to remember that daily to have my zeal for God. God has answered prayers. Hasn't He answered your prayers? Don't you have prayers that God has answered that are precious to you? Elizabeth, my oldest, almost drowned one day in a flood or an area that was flooding. God saved her. I have no doubt about that. Sydney, when she was born, if you know about babies, when they're born, they have an Apgar score. I think 10 is the most it can be, give or take. But you get a point for different things. You get a point for breathing. She didn't get that. Her Apgar score was 1. She had a pulse. Her heart was beating. She didn't have reflexes. She didn't have color. She didn't have all these things. She didn't breathe for 4 minutes. God saved her. I have no doubt about that. Abby came along, no problems, but Abby comes after a miscarriage that was really hard on us, in which we desperately wanted another child. What has God done for you? When I remember things like that, I get chills. That's one way, a great way to regain our passion for God, is to remember what He's done for us. We need to restore our priorities. We need to restore the order of how we live our life and what we do and what goes where. Where does God go? Where does Christ go? It may be that we need to say no to some things so we can say yes to other things. Do I have the time in my life to be in a small group? Do I have the time in my schedule to be with the church family on Wednesday night? Wednesday night is a great time in the middle of the week. I come here every Wednesday night tired. And I leave refreshed because we come and fellowship together. We study together. Do I have the time in my schedule for godly things? I need to make time. I need to say yes to God. And I need to say no to other things. And we need to refocus on the goal. We live in a time and a culture and a place where we have more distractions than any group of people ever in the history of the world. Isn't that true? Hold up your electronic device that you can be distracted. Everybody hold these up. I know you have it handy. You have it on silent, but if you don't have it on silent, you should have it on silent. We're supposed to try to do that. Hold these up for a second, just for a second. Look around. Okay, thank you. We live in a day and time that we have more to distract us than any group of people ever did. And one of Satan's best methods of choking our zeal, our flame, is just simply to distract us. He doesn't have to convince me that God is not good and God is not real. All Satan has to do is say, hey, look over here. Okay, what do you got? What is this? Oh, it's a new thing. You need to have this, man. You don't have one of these? No, I didn't know that even existed. Oh, well, you got to get one of these. Well, I think you're right. I think I do. Where do I go to get that? I mean, we're not all ADD, but we kind of all are, right? in our society. And we need to refocus on the goal. Our goal is heaven. That's our goal. Paul said he runs the race for the prize. Our goal is heaven. And to go there and take as many people with us, is that not our goal? Now, we are to glorify God in all we do. We are to worship God. We are to serve God. We are to love others. But our goal is to go to heaven and take as many with us. And so we have a day coming up. And this statistic is really fascinating to me. 82% of people said they would likely attend church if they were invited. That's just a survey of people that don't have a church home. They said, you know what, if somebody invited me, I probably would go. But 98% of churchgoers admitted in a given single year they had not, would not invite anyone. Probably had not. The question was probably in the past year, have you invited anyone to church services? 98% said no. What are we going to do about that? So we strategically plan days like we have coming up, Friends Day, because in our society we live in a culture of people who want God. We live in a culture of people who may not go seek Him out on their own, but if they knew someone who invited them, they said, yeah, I would go. And it is effective. And we see it as a part of our growth. And so May 5th, please be praying about this. Be thinking about this. I encourage you, we want to invite as many as we can. When you go to get your hair done, when you go to get your hair cut, when you go, you know what I mean? Whatever you do, even the folks in Quick Trip are some of our best buddies, aren't they? We see them more than we see our own family. We need to invite people. We need to invite people because each invitation has that potential, doesn't it? To change that life forever. And so what will we do with our passion? We have zeal for things, but where's my zeal for God? Is it just Sunday mornings? Is it all the time? Is my zeal for God more than my zeal for other things? Let's pray together about this. Bow with me. God, we bow before you. We pray that you help us, that you strengthen us, that you remind us of how good you are and how much we need you. We pray that our zeal for you would be greater than anything else. We pray that we would have it all the time. We pray that the ways that Satan lies to us and distracts us, God, help us to say no to the things that we need to so we can say yes to you. We pray that we will be a people passionate, that our light will shine, that people will see us and want what we have. We ask this morning in your Son's name. Amen. This morning we're going to offer this as an opportunity. We're going to sing a song. You may want to come and have us pray for you about this topic today. It may be that someone here, you're not right with God and you know it. Let us help you. If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.